The Sea Chase, written by Roger MacDonald and read by Louise Crawford. Deanna talked about Judy to Ken. It took Ken a minute to realise what Deanna was saying, because what Deanna said about Judy never varied, and this was no exception. Only it made a difference.
If you don't go, my love, why can't she? Isn't there always a ship's cat?
Deanna mimed a pair of raking claws.
If I don't go, said Ken. What do you mean if I don't go?
He still owned Rattler. More money than ever was poured into her. She was a cruising Helmsman's Magazine notable classic. That was why, he said. Money was no longer a problem. Ken and Deanna were now, by any standard, wealthy, able to indulge themselves in expensive satisfactions, ranging from Rattler to restoring a Bill Lucas marvel of contemporary domestic architecture in the bulwark Castle Crack, where they now lived, stepping around tradesmen, and on to patron season tickets for the Sydney Symphony, Belvoir Street Theatre, and more recently the Sydney International Piano Competition, which Deanna followed the way other people did the tennis, with a yen for Balkan prodigies. At the kitchen table, Ken marked off a checklist. Each item had a small square box drawn beside it. Wet weather gear, seasick pills, rum, life raft, flares. Only after each item was absolutely secure for carting down to Rattler, berthed at the bottom of their gully, could a ticked box be circled. Very few items were circled yet.
We haven't discussed it,
said Deanna in her lazy, smooching way.
You and Judy haven't discussed it. You and I haven't discussed it, Kenny.
Ken was bewitched by Deanna gathering him into her gaze. Always had been since the day they met, when he saw her standing on the other side of a room at an art show, wearing a filmy blue dress to just below her knees, where it stirred in a breeze from the outdoors, and staring at him with utter erotic solemnity. Deanna, bless her, had the power to scramble his brains. Neither of his first two wives had that power, and one was a Mensa member, the other a certified sociopathic manipulator. The great thing with Deanna was they had perfect understanding. And of the two of them, a bonus, if it was possible to rank conviction, Deanna was the one soused in socialist instinct, to the extent that she never had to think through a position, and had not the slightest guilt feelings around their wealth from Boatware Bush Gear Warehouse and associated diversifications, the profits rolling in. Nor did Ken, but really only thanks to the balance offered by the Shipley Plateau School, where he taught 3 days a week pro bono.